Good morning. This is the KBOO Morning News for Friday, June 30th. I'm Jake Wallner.
And I'm Paul Marresch.
On this morning's news, Eastern Oregon farmers expect raising profits due to the increased demand for biodiesel. Congressional hearings are set on Guantanamo, but they may impact only a few detainees. And Israel has struck more than 30 targets in the Gaza Strip. Today's Portland area weather, mostly sunny, highs in the mid-80s. Tonight, partly cloudy with a slight chance of thunderstorms in the evening, then mostly clear after the midnight, lows 55 to 60.
Some Eastern Oregon farmers may be able to cash in their canola seeds for a healthy profit because of the growing demand for biodiesel fuel. There's such a huge gold rush mentality surrounding alternative fuels right now, said Al Goziak, president of the Pendleton Grain Growers Association, a farmers cooperative in Pendleton. When biodiesel fuel prices spiked this spring, demand surged for biodiesel, a blend of petroleum fuel and vegetable oil. Experts say restaurant grease alone can no longer supply the growing market. Sequential Biodiesel, which owns the state's first production facility, is now purchasing virgin canola oil from Oregon farmers to supplement its fuel production capacity. There's not enough used cooking oil, so we need to augment that supply with virgin oil, said Tyson Kiever of Sequential Pacific, a joint venture between Eugene-based Sequential Biofuels and Pacific Biodiesel of Maui, Hawaii. That's why it is so important to get the farmers involved, Kiever said. Seed crushing season enters full swing in July for Oregon farmers. As the first big round of crops come ready to harvest and pulverize into vegetable oil, the demand for virgin oil has created a more profitable market for canola farmers who would otherwise be shipping their seeds to Canada.
A group that plans to demonstrate at the memorial service for Private First Class Thomas Tucker will have to protest in a parking lot at the county fairgrounds. The Deschutes County Commissioner took the action amid reports that members of the Westboro Baptist Church of Topeka, Kansas, might picket tomorrow's service at the Fair and Expo Center in Redmond. Church members routinely demonstrate outside military funerals, saying American soldiers are dying as a sign of God's anger against the country's tolerance of homosexuality. Yesterday's order from the commissioner allows Deschutes County authorities to remove protesters who fail to stay in the assigned area for demonstrations.
Hoping to seize on frustration about sky-high gas prices, about 35 activists stood outside a downtown Seattle gas station Wednesday to protest congressional members who take campaign money from big oil companies. The rally was organized by MoveOn.org, a Democratic grassroots political organization. It was held in conjunction with 250 other similar events across the country, including those in Bellevue, Renton, Everett, and Tacoma. Protesters waved signs and handed out flyers to drivers as they rolled in to fill up their tanks. Organizers pointed to MoveOn.org figures showing that since 1990, members of Congress had accepted $190 million in campaign contributions from oil companies. 75% went to Republicans, who event organizers accused of kowtowing to oil companies by not supporting alternative energy sources and handing over billions in taxpayer subsidies. Organizers said they weren't targeting that specific Shell station, which is independently owned. The station manager said the owner allowed protesters to rally outside his store, saying, "I understand it. I feel the same thing, too," explaining that working at a gas station didn't exempt him from feeling the pinch of high gas prices. This from the Seattle Post-Intelligencer.
On Monday, July 3rd, 2006, in Olympia, concerned community members from the surrounding Puget Sound region will be rallying to oppose the presence of a neo-Nazi group called the National Socialist Movement in the community. The rally will begin at 1 p.m. at the Tivoli Fountain on the Capitol campus, with plans to conclude at some time after 4 p.m. The NSM has a permit to occupy the steps of the Capitol from 2 to 4 p.m., this according to Seattle Indy Media. The Olympia Movement for Justice and Peace has played a central role in spearheading the organizing necessary for conducting the rally, and they strongly urge their organizations to join them in seizing this opportunity to demonstrate with a fundamental goal of building a sustainable movement for working for racial, economic, and social justice. The direction and objectives of the demonstration are intended to affirm and celebrate diversity. They seek to use this unfortunate occurrence, the rallying of a neo-Nazi hate group in their town, to create a celebratory afternoon of community solidarity, drowning out the negative message promoted by the NSM, forming an atmosphere of unity and compassion.
Clatsop County will have a say in the proposed liquefied natural gas, or LNG, project planned at Bradwood, according to the Daily Astorian. The Board of Commissioners voted unanimously Wednesday to file as an intervener in the federal review process for the liquefied natural gas terminal proposed for the riverfront site, which is 40 miles east of Astoria. The filing gives the county officials standing with the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission to review documents and appeal decisions by the agency as it reviews the application by project developers. The Warrenton City Commission voted Tuesday to make its own intervenor filing, and the Astoria City Council has scheduled a special meeting this morning to consider similar action. Port Westward LNG, a company pursuing a natural gas terminal project near Clatskanie, and some Clatskanie landowners have also sought intervenor status in the Bradwood process. The county argues that the project doesn't comply with the existing zoning on the proposed site. Commissioner Lila Gable said, "This is about local government's rights not being usurped by the federal government."
California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger has told gay Republicans in Los Angeles that nobody should be judged by their sexual orientation. Speaking last night at a fundraiser at a fundraising dinner for Log Cabin Republicans, Schwarzenegger said that in politics, it's important to address problems instead of attack people. His appearance gave him a venue to separate himself somewhat from President Bush, but did not appear to cause much of a stir among California Republicans. Schwarzenegger, who vetoed a bill to legalize gay marriage last September, received an award from the group for helping to make the GOP more inclusive. Schwarzenegger has signed several bills expanding gay rights in California and has said he opposes a federal ban on gay marriage.
As the waters of the Delaware River gradually began to recede, residents up and down its banks prepared to clear debris, pump out muddy water, and tally the flood's cost. Authorities said about 6,000 residents were forced to flee as the Delaware overran its banks from the New York state line to Trenton, creating some of the worst flooding to hit the Northeast in decades. Water rose as high as street signs in eastern Pennsylvania, and at least 16 deaths in four states were blamed on the deluge. For many along the river's banks, it was the third time in 2 years that the floodwaters invaded, putting basements underwater and sending coffee-colored water cascading into storefronts.
The cows at the Audette family's Blue Spruce Farm make nearly 9,000 gallons of milk a day and about 35,000 gallons of manure. It's long been the milk that pays, but now the Audettes have figured out how to make the manure pay as well. They're using it, actually, the methane that comes from it, to generate electricity. With the help of their power company, Central Vermont Public Service Corporation, the Audettes have devised a way to extract the methane from the manure and pipe it to a generator. They make enough electricity to power 300 to 400 average Vermont homes. It's renewable energy, and they're not the only ones interested in it. Four other Vermont farms now have similar projects in the planning or early construction stages. The electricity has created an important new income stream at a time when low wholesale milk prices have squeezed their margin. The utility pays 95% of the going New England wholesale power price for electricity from the Audette's generator. In addition, the utility charges customers willing to pay it a 4 cents per kilowatt hour premium for renewable energy, and then turns the money over to the Audettes. So far, more than 3,000 CVPS customers have signed up to pay the premium to support the renewable energy effort.
Both sides in Texas's redistricting fight have got 2 weeks to suggest how to redraw a congressional district whose borders were struck down by a U.S. Supreme Court. A federal judge says proposed changes are due by July 14th, and oral arguments before a judicial panel will be held August 3rd. Democrats have been fighting a pro-Republican Texas congressional map, accusing the GOP of an illegal power grab. The Supreme Court earlier this week upheld all but one of the redrawn districts, tossing out the map for the 23rd district, which stretches from San Antonio to Laredo and westward almost to El Paso.
The National Zoo has removed the chickens and ducks from its children's petting farm to prevent the possible spread of bird flu from the animals to humans. None of the birds are infected with the avian flu virus, and there have been no bird or human infections reported in North America. Still, the zoo is moving them to its research center in Front Royal, Virginia, as a precaution, said Director John Berry. This is the only place in the zoo where children are actively encouraged to pet and touch the animals, Berry said Thursday. We want to be extra cautious. The 18 ducks and 27 chickens are part of the Kids Farm exhibit, a two-acre area that opened in 2004. None of the other bird exhibits are affected because the birds and visitors don't have close contact. The zoo is working with the Department of Agriculture on vaccines for its birds, particularly those considered endangered species to prevent them from becoming infected. The virus has killed at least 130 people worldwide since it began ravaging Asian poultry stocks in late 2003. Most human cases of bird flu have been traced to contact with six birds.
Lawmakers on House and Senate Intelligence Committees say that while the National Security Agency has amassed a huge database of Americans' calling records, cooperation with the National Security Agency, NSA, by telephone companies was not as widespread as USA Today initially reported, the newspaper said earlier today. USA Today reported May 11th that, according to its sources, AT&T, Bell South, and Verizon all agreed to provide the agency with domestic call records. The newspaper said Friday that Verizon and Bell South denied they contracted to provide the NSA with records of their customers' phone calls. AT&T has neither confirmed nor denied the newspaper's report. In an accompanying note to our readers, USA Today vowed to continue to report on the contents and scope of the database as part of its ongoing coverage of national security and domestic surveillance. This is an important story that holds up very well. At the heart of our report is the fact that the NSA is collecting phone call records of millions of Americans, said Steve Anderson, a spokesman for the newspaper. There have been no denials that this database exists, he said. 19 members of Congress who have been briefed following the May 11th article have confirmed the existence of the database. What we address in the editor's note deals with the fact that we originally reported that the telephone companies were working under contract with the NSA, Anderson added. We've concluded that we cannot establish that Bell South or Verizon entered into a contract with the NSA to provide the bulk calling records.
The Supreme Court rebuked President Bush and his anti-terror policies yesterday. The court ruled that his plan to try Guantanamo Bay detainees in military tribunals violates U.S. and international law. The president and congressional Republicans immediately pledged to work on a new strategy for special trials for some of the hundreds of suspected al-Qaeda and Taliban operatives rounded up in Afghanistan, Pakistan, and other countries. Bush said the ruling won't cause killers to be put out on the street. The court declared 5-3 that the president's attempt to resurrect a type of military trial last used in the aftermath of World War II violates U.S. military law and the Geneva Conventions that set international standards for dealing with people captured in armed conflicts. The ruling focused on Salim Ahmed Hamdan, a one-time driver for Osama bin Laden, who has spent 4 years in the U.S. prison at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. He faces a single count of conspiring to commit terrorism. The decision could have a broad impact on the administration's legal justification for many of its policies in the global fight against terrorism, from eavesdropping to detention policies in Iraq.
The Supreme Court's rebuff of the Bush administration's Guantanamo military tribunals knocks the issue into the halls of Congress, where GOP leaders are already trying to figure out how to give the president the options he wants for dealing with suspected terror detainees. That way forward could be long and difficult. Congress will negotiate a highly technical legal road, one fraught with political implications in an election year, and all this under the scrutiny of the international community that has condemned the continued use of the Guantanamo prison. The ruling does little to clear up the immediate future of the 450 prisoners under the razor wire at Guantanamo Bay, Naval Base, Cuba, since most have never been charged with crimes and may never go to trial. Within hours of the High Court's ruling that the military tribunals were illegal under U.S. and international law, Bush said he would work with Congress to fix the problem. Congress's options include everything from legalizing the administration's proposed military tribunals to using the U.S. court system or enacting laws that, as Justice John Paul Stevens recommended, use military courts martial as a template.
The Dutch Prime Minister and his cabinet resigned today after a split in its ranks over the citizenship case of a Somali-born lawmaker. The collapse of a Prime Minister Jan Peter Balkenende's three-year-old conservative government underscored divisions among the Dutch about whether their strict immigration policies have gone too far or not far enough. Balkenende submitted his government's resignation to Queen Beatrix, who will meet with an advisor and all the parties in Parliament to decide whether the Prime Minister has enough support to continue with a minority government or schedule new elections as soon as possible. Either way, elections were expected by the end of the year, rather than in May 2007 as scheduled. The political turmoil began in last month, when the immigration minister, known for her hardline policies, threatened to revoke the passport of a Somali-born lawmaker, Ayan Hirsi Ali, after the legislator admitted falsifying her name to escape an arranged marriage when she applied for asylum in 1992.
China's internet regulators are stepping up controls on blogs and search engines to block material it considers unlawful or immoral. Kai Wu, director of the Information Office of China's cabinet, was quoted as saying, "As more and more illegal, unhealthy information spreads through the blog and search engine, we will take effective measures to put the BBS blog and search engine under control. The government will step up research on monitoring technology and issue admittance standards for blogs," the report said, without providing any detail. China encourages internet use for business and education, but tries to block access to obscene or subversive material. It has the world's second biggest population of internet users after the United States, with 111 million people online. China launched a campaign in February to purify the environment of the internet and mobile communications.
Extraditions and deportations have risen sharply as U.S. and Mexican law enforcement officials work closely together to bring suspected criminals to justice. Neither leading candidate in Mexico's presidential election Sunday is likely to change that. Felipe Calderón, the conservative candidate for the ruling National Action Party, has promised to increase the flow of extraditions of drug traffickers to the United States. Leftist Andrés Manuel López Obrador, running about even with Calderón, hasn't mentioned extraditions, but wants to work with the U.S. authorities to combat drugs. Such vows are a big change from the years following the brazen 1985 kidnapping by U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration agents of a Mexican citizen suspected in the killing of undercover DEA agent Enrique Kiki Camarena. Mexican politicians were infuriated that the agents would make such a move inside Mexico and took years of careful work to restore good relations.
In Seattle today, there will be an emergency protest to defend the Palestinian people and demand that the U.S. cut off all aid to Israel. Using the capture of one of its soldiers as the pretext, the Israeli Occupation Forces, IOF, launched a brutal assault on the entire population of Gaza in the early morning hours of June 28th. U.S.-supplied F-16 fighter bombers destroyed the main power station in Gaza and destroyed bridges on the only major roads linking the northern and southern sections of the region. The people of Gaza are now without water and electricity, and many will die. The use of U.S. planes and other military equipment against illegally occupied territories is a violation of both international and U.S. laws. In addition, Israel has unlawfully arrested key members of the Palestinian cabinet. For more information, go to Seattle Indy Media.
Israel destroyed the office of the Palestinian Interior Minister in a series of airstrikes today, increasing the pressure on the Hamas government to release a kidnapped soldier a day after it delayed a broad ground offensive into the Gaza Strip. Israel's Air Force struck more than 30 targets in Gaza over 24 hours, hitting roads, bridges, and power plants. The army also fired hundreds of artillery shells into the offensive force Hamas-linked militants to release Corporal Gilad Shalit. He was captured Sunday when Gaza militants tunneled under the border, attacking an Israeli outpost and killing two other soldiers. While thousands of troops massed along both sides of the Israel-Gaza border, waiting for the go-ahead for an invasion. Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak said militants had agreed to Shalit's conditional release, but that Israel had not accepted the terms. Mubarak did not specify the terms. Israel officials said they did not know of such an offer, but a senior government official said a planned ground offensive had been delayed due to a request by Egypt that mediators be given a chance to resolve the crisis. Other officials, however, denied the delay was due to Egypt, saying it reflected Israel's overall management of the crisis, which they said required withholding force when necessary.
Prime Minister Ismail Haniyeh says Palestinians will remain steadfast despite Israel's arrest of 8 cabinet ministers. It's his first public address since Israel began its Gaza offensive. He didn't directly address Israel's demand that Palestinian militants hand over an abducted Israeli soldier, but he implied the government would not trade him for cabinet ministers or other Hamas officials. Haniyeh also said Israel's offensive in Gaza is not only about rescuing the soldier, but part of a plan to bring down the Hamas-led government.
Thousands of angry Turks burned an Israeli flag today and chanted, "Murder Israel! Get out of Palestine," to protest Israel's offensive into the Gaza Strip. Hundreds of women wearing black chadors or covering their heads with Islamic-style headscarves carried Palestinian flags and banners which read, "Israel is burning Palestine." Police said about 5,000 people participated in the protest outside Istanbul's Bayezid Mosque. Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan said he was contacted Palestinian authorities in an effort to help end the crisis over Israel's offensive, which was launched following the kidnapping of an Israeli soldier on Sunday. Turkey has friendly ties with both fellow Muslim Palestinians and Israel. Israel's Air Force has struck more than 30 targets in the Gaza, including the Palestinian Interior Ministry, while thousands of Israeli soldiers backed by tanks have taken up positions in the southern part of the Strip.
Russia offered a $10 million reward today for information on the killers of 5 Russian embassy staff workers in Iraq. The offer came 2 days after President Vladimir Putin ordered special services to hunt down and destroy those responsible for the deaths. The slaying shocked Russia and prompted an angry outcry against the U.S.-led coalition. Russia's foreign ministry confirmed Monday that 4 Russians seized in early June had been killed. A videotape purported to show the deaths of some. A 5th staffer was slain during the abduction. The kidnappers had demanded the Kremlin pull its troops out of Chechnya, a predominantly Muslim region in southern Russia where separatists have been fighting for independence. For information which has failed the result being achieved, the National Anti-Terrorist Committee of the Russian Federation will pay a reward of $10 million, said the head of the Federal Security Service, Nikolai Petrushev, according to the Reynovosti news agency.
Isam Hamza and his son Ahmed were killed in their Baghdad home by U.S. troops, who say the men ignored shouted orders during the arrest of an al-Qaeda suspect. Relatives said they were simply panicked by the nighttime raid. Conflicting accounts of the shootings on May 14th illustrate the difficulties of investigating widespread accusations that U.S. troops kill civilians without just cause. The case was brought to Reuters' attention by a neighbor who is an academic and critic of the U.S. occupation. The family say they were woken by blasts gathered in a hallway and then noticed red laser dots on the walls from the U.S. soldiers' rifle sights as the raid got underway. Hamza's daughter, Sarah, said the retired pharmacist's assistant stood up and walked to the hall door near his bedroom. She said, "Suddenly he shouted and returned to us holding his left side and fell to the ground." Sarah said her sisters were trying to staunch the bleeding when U.S. soldiers outside demanded a locked door to the house be opened. Her brother Ahmed moved to look for the keys. Sarah said, "Once he reached the television table, he was shot in the head from the window and fell to the ground." Her accusations come at a time when the U.S. military is already under the spotlight over the conduct of its troops. This according to Reuters.
Osama bin Laden paid tribute to Abu Musab al-Zarqawi in a new audio message today and said the slain al-Qaeda leader had been under orders to kill Iraqis who supported U.S. forces in the country. In the 19-minute message, bin Laden also demanded that President Bush hand over al-Zarqawi's body to his family and vowed more attacks against the United States. He said, "We will continue to fight you and your allies everywhere in Iraq, Afghanistan, Somalia, and Sudan to run down your resources and kill your men until you return defeated to your nation." It was the fourth audio message purportedly put out this year by bin Laden. The voice is in the latest message released on an Islamic web forum where militants often post messages resembled that on previous recordings attributed to bin Laden. But the authenticity of the tape could not be immediately confirmed. The audio message was accompanied by a video showing an old photo of bin Laden next to images of al-Zarqawi taken from a previous video. New video images of bin Laden have not appeared since October 2004. And that was the KBOO Morning News for Friday, June 30th. Thanks for listening. This morning's newscast was edited by Becca Bartelson and Chris Andre. Our engineer is Becca Bartelson, and the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director is Kathleen Stevenson. Jake Waldner and I'm Paul Maresch are your news anchors. This week's AM's weather forecast includes today's most